Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right, every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in four dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get back to this Texans versus the accusers of Deshaun Watson and the lawsuits. Dan Lust is joining us here, sports attorney, heard on ESPN, CBS, and Fox Sports, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Dan, welcome to the show.
My pleasure to join you. And, I will say five alarm sirens going off with Houston Texans HQ, Deshaun Watson hearing today. So happy to join you guys and break it down.
Yeah, this is really big. Let's start with the Texans. We had a lawyer on the show after ours yesterday. I'd like to hear your opinion on this. You don't have to have beyond a reasonable doubt. There's got to be a preponderance of evidence. It's a civil suit. But how difficult is it going to be for them to prove that the Houston Texans enabled Deshaun Watson here?
Yeah, I think it's going to be very hard. It's not going to stop someone from filing a lawsuit, right? As they say, there is no bar to the courthouse steps. Anybody can file a lawsuit really for anything. It's just a matter of whether that person can win. So Tony Busby and one of the accusers here think they have a colorable claim against the Houston Texans. And by and large, I think a lot of this is from that New York Times report that 66 masseuses in 17 months. At this point, we haven't heard from the Texans, right? We don't know if that's true. We're just hearing it from a media publication. So, the standard is going to be, obviously, the burden is for the plaintiff to prove. But I wouldn't make any assumptions yet, by any means. What I'm more curious about in the football standpoint, right, and I'm sure you guys have been talking about it, but in doing their due diligence in looking into Deshaun Watson, whether the Cleveland Browns were aware of the Texans' potential culpability, right, the potential for this lawsuit. So, again, innocent until proven guilty in our criminal courts, burdens on the plaintiff in our civil courts. Question is whether the Browns knew, right, when they decided to part with three first-round picks. So certainly monitoring very closely.
Well, and with the Texans, it's who knew what when, right? Did you know while this was going on that this was happening and you were still giving them NDAs, that you were still giving them massage tables, that you were still allowing them to use that room at the Houstonian?
Right, that's the big question, and I think just in our legal circles, the question is, right, how did someone go, Deshaun Watson? I've been following very closely. I would go on a lot with another Houston ESPN guy, Pat Grayton. Almost every day we talk about these developments. How does a guy go from being a nuclear asset that was untouchable, right? There were reports prior to that grand jury that he might be like outright released. I don't know if there was any truth to that, but I saw those reports. The guy goes from untouchable asset to commanding $230 million guaranteed and was, for a period of time, the most coveted asset in the NFL. How does that happen, right? I think if the Houston Texans, during that period with the team, would have given him some type of discipline, some official discipline, not like he's sitting out and no one's really talking about it, I think that probably would have hurt his trade value. I do. I think there would have been, some official, punishment that was on his record. So the question is whether the Houston Texans knew about it. And separately, I think a question that should be asked, whether the Texans did not discipline him for fear that it might hurt his future trade value. I think that's a totally fair question at this point in time.
Maybe a totally fair question, but I don't know that – I don't know. I think there's a lot of layers here because the Texans are trying to – once they knew they were going to deal Deshaun, and I think they knew very quickly once – I've been told that once the lawsuit started to come out, they said, okay, that's it. The McNairs just did not want to have that on the team. So – I do think they were always looking out for their trade value. I don't think the league is going to bother with that. I don't think there's any harm in that. I think the real question is, did the Texans, were they participatory in this? That's going to be the question. And the other big problem here the Texans have, frankly, is that the COVID, I know we don't think about it now, but at the time, the NFL was extraordinarily strict on their COVID restrictions. And it looks like the Texans knowingly flaunted that in order to help Deshaun Watson facilitate, even if it's what they believe to be innocuous massages, it still happened outside of the auspice of what the NFL rules were. And those were NFL rules that were designed and governed specifically to make sure that the season could continue.
Right. And I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Watson not, he's acknowledged at the depositions that he was not aware and didn't really ask whether some of these masseuses were licensed massage therapists. So in addition to, you know, that, you know, someone's looking for a professional massage, the person not being licensed is kind of odd. You know, that person maybe is not being so safe from COVID protocol level. And, you know, we all followed it very closely. There was six-figure fines being assessed to different coaches and different organizations for something as simple as not wearing masks when they were told to, let alone, right, dealing with people that are outside the proverbial COVID bubble and risking team availability. And so I think that's a very fair point. And the question that's brought up in this lawsuit is whether the Texans, right, if they should have said something after seeing kind of an eyebrow, I think the line in the complaint was an eyebrow-raising amount of massages being done by people outside of the organization when, you know, most professional athletes, I would think, right, are dealing with the same person over and over, right? When they find a masseuse that they like, they're going to use that person because they're comfortable with them. You know, and again, not to mention during a period of COVID where, you know, you were trying to limit the interactions of people outside of your circle for availability purposes, especially in professional sports. So I think that might have raised the concern. The question is, from a legal standpoint, right, whether the Texans had a duty to do something about it outside of trade value purposes and whatnot, whether or not they had a legal duty to step in and prevent these, which I'm not sure about, right? I'm not sure what the Texans knew or didn't know, but that's the question that's going to be asked in any type of negligence lawsuit, whether the party that's being accused actually had a duty to prevent that type of harm. And it might be attenuated. We're not really sure yet how much the Texans did or didn't know at this point.
Talking about Deshaun Watson, the upcoming disciplinary hearing, and, well, the upcoming disciplinary hearing goes today. What we've been talking about is Texans' culpability, and of course the Texans were named in the lawsuit, and that came out officially with Tony Busby yesterday. In terms of, so my wife has a law degree. I ask her this question. I'm curious if, I want to be sensitive in how to ask this question. In terms of what we're dealing with right now, the atmosphere in which everything is going down, including the Supreme Court's latest decision, including what we've seen over the course of the last, you know, 3 to 5 years with Me Too movement, including everything, anything and everything that you want to include, are we at a tipping point where the NFL is finally going to say, look, we would rather err on the side of being too aggressive with a penalty than too lenient on a penalty? Are we going to be at that spot here with Deshaun Watson, do you think? As it pertains, you know, as it pertains to yeah, women, I want to make sure I make that clear.
No, I figured, you know, so it's tough. Like, right, I could certainly see that. And the rumors that are coming out are that there's a potentially a one-year suspension on the table and an indefinite suspension, you know, thereafter. You know, I could see it. I mean, obviously, people, you know, the McNairs, whoever was behind the decision, Watson hasn't played for a year. So if he gets a year suspension, it's almost as if he's been suspended, you know, obviously with pay for the first year. But a two-year period of time where he's been off the field. And then the indefinite part is interesting. You know, that means that he can't come back until the cases are over, right? And the wheels of justice turn very slowly, right? The actual trials in these cases are not scheduled until after next year's Super Bowl, and the statute of limitations, some of them don't run until, you know, mid-2023 or thereafter, so you still could have more cases. So that indefinite part could really mean a three-year suspension if they're really waiting for all these cases to end. Here's where I kind of come down. If we're just trying to forecast what the NFL is going to do, last fall, I'm sure you guys covered it, Roger Goodell was quoted as saying, at that point in time, they did not have enough to put Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list. You know, so we're just judging, we're trying to figure out what the NFL is going to do. You know, last fall, the NFL at that point had already spoke to a number of the accusers. You know, double-digit lawsuits had already been filed. And, you know, Goodell had very public comments that there wasn't enough to put him on the exempt list. So what's happened since then? Watson beat the indictment. Two separate grand juries that chose not to indict him. So, you know, on paper, I think Watson's case or Watson's, on paper, I think Watson's condition has probably improved, right? There's no criminal charges. They're not likely to flow at this point in time. So I think that's the NFLPA and Watson's argument here, right? What happened that made the situation worse? I wasn't put on the exempt list, but now you're going to hit me with a year suspension and a ban thereafter. So I think the NFL's got to be a little cognizant, of optics and in terms of fairness. So, yeah, I think in law, in negotiations, you always want to aim high and try to, settle for what you actually want. So I think that's why those leaks came out, that 1 year and the indefinite. I think the NFL's probably going to go for a year and try to settle this, without some very public appeal and all that, legal behind-the-scenes stuff.
Right. Last week, and we got Dan Lust with us here, attorney on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Last week, the NFLPA and Deshaun's team and the NFL couldn't come to terms. So then right after that, okay, you guys don't want a year? Okay, how about indefinite? So now do you come back, if you're his lawyer today and you are, you're on Deshaun's team, Dan, how do you take the year or are you going to fight this thing and possibly get less?
I think I'm inclined to fight it. There's a lot of appeals that are filed in our country that don't win, but sometimes you file appeal for the optics, right? I know you guys had mentioned, right, that the McNairs didn't want any part of Watson last year, but there's nothing official that's been put on the record. Watson never filed a grievance against the team for not being able to play. Obviously, the guy was paid, but his market value took a hit by not, sitting out, being a healthy scratch, right, as a 20-year-old. So I tend to think that the NFL, and there's been a lot of reporting at the Watson and the NFL are haggling over how many games should be issued to kind of avoid this type of hearing and an appeal. I think the NFL wants to get this settled up without, without the optics of an appeal. And I thought, at a point that should be raised, Rusty Harden had those kind of ill-advised comments, a couple weeks ago at this point about, that a quote-unquote happy ending is not necessarily illegal at the end of a massage. And he had to walk it back. It's definitely an ill-advised comment on a number of levels. But he had to walk it back because, he said it was hypothetical. It's not really what he was arguing. What I think he was getting at, I think it's a preview of what we're going to, behind the scenes going to happen today, right? Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, had allegations of this quote-unquote happy ending at a massage, years ago. And the guy, right, received no type of punishment whatsoever. So I think that's going to be the argument that Watson's team and the NFLPA are going to make, to try to make it delicately, but that this type of conduct and serious conduct, like Dan Snyder also had sexual assault allegations, received no formal suspension and formal banishment from the league, yet Watson is being chased with a 1 year suspension and an indefinite term. That's why I think that the NFLPA and Watson's camp have a lot of bullets to fire, right? They do have some leverage. They can really muck up the water. So, yeah, I think they're going to go guns a-blazing, and I don't think they're going to just take a year and go quietly. So we'll see. I think they're, I think the number is six games. Maybe they're going for a number like that. That doesn't envision a full season suspension.
Well, big difference, though, with Kraft and Deshaun is a number of these women claim it wasn't consensual. And in the Kraft situation, it was consensual. Now, there's also the gentle touch, which the Houston Texans was the Houston Texans hired massage team, where these lawsuits claim that Deshaun Watson had happy endings there. Is that, how does that affect the Houston Texans in that you guys provided this gentle touch with a happy ending for Deshaun? You're actually giving him more reason to think that this is acceptable behavior.
Well, just one thing on Kraft. I mean, the personal conduct policy and the actual NFL CBA doesn't require some type of crime to occur, right? And what the allegation is that what Watson did was non-consensual. Obviously, as you said, Robert Kraft has never heard anything that it was non-consensual. But the actual NFL personal conduct policy doesn't really speak to something that's consensual, non-consensual, criminal, non-criminal. It just speaks to conduct that's unbecoming of someone associated with the NFL.
That's a good point.
So, I think that should be raised. But to your point, right, if the Texans, facilitated a massage where something occurred, right, that's in theory violative of the NFL personal conduct policy, Article 46 of the CBA. The Texans knew about it, facilitated it. right? Assuming that's true, yeah, there could be discipline that flows. I don't know if it's a kind of uncharted territory. I don't know what would happen with the actual, trade compensation, if that is somehow, unwindable, as sometimes we see in baseball when there's different medicals that are not reported. This is not that. It's obviously a different character. That's the heart of the Tony Busby complaint. I think interesting that I don't know if it's been raised, right? Tony Busby 2-3 weeks ago said that we are going to add the Houston Texans to these lawsuits. At the time, there were 20 cases that were pending, or 24 cases that were pending. Now, when the smoke cleared and the actual Texans were added, they didn't amend the caption and add the Texans to those 24 cases. Only one plaintiff added the Texans to their case. So, interesting. I can't really make sense of that, why that would have occurred, right? Busby kind of overpromised and underdelivered in that sense. So maybe there's something to read into there that not all the women were comfortable having that type of having the Texans attached to their lawsuits. But interesting. I certainly thought there would be Texans would be added to all the cases, and that's certainly not what happened.
Well, Dan Lust, sports attorney, heard on ESPN, CBS, and Fox. Man, great stuff, Dan. We really appreciate it. Hope we can talk to you again soon, but about better stuff.
Of course. My pleasure, and absolutely anytime.
All right, Dan Lust right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Because it's always good stuff whenever we're having lawyers on.
Right. No. It's a happy time. There's always, what about the lawsuit of the guy who was too happy? Yeah, he was suing the place.
Hey, tell us about some of the sports law stuff that involves the amazing charitable work that's being done. But nothing ever. We might have. I mean, theoretically, we could have talked about, I don't know, maybe one time about the baseball, the legality of giving, of selling a Bonds baseball. I don't know. When we talk to sports lawyers, it's always because somebody's done something bad and something bad is going to happen. And how bad is it going to be?
Yeah, it's really bad. It's always bad. All right. You know what's really good? Insurance.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's really bad and it's really necessary. TJS Insurance is homeowners insurance. It's not actually, they're not the company who handles your homeowners insurance. They actually aggregate and do the shopping for A-rated companies. So there will be multiple A-rated companies that they can shop just with your address alone. All they need is your address, and they are able to use their algorithms to gain a very clear picture of what a competitive rate is going to look like from all of these companies. They're able to compare them and send it back to you, a competitive rate, in a matter of 15 seconds. That's all it takes. And I know you think that that's impossible, but it's not impossible. Text the word money to 232323, and you're going to find out just how quickly they operate. You can just test it against what you have right now. You may find that you like your coverage and there's not a big enough savings for you. You may find that maybe you just shopped for a new rate last year and you're still under what they can find for you. But you also may find out that you've been with your company for a little while and they're saving you in the thousands, because that happens all the time. The average savings is over $900 the first time someone makes a switch over to TGS Insurance. So text the word money to 232323. That's TGSinsurance.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance. Oh, if you didn't hear us this year, Greg Cosell was on a regular basis. And he was awesome. Hopefully we'll get him again this year. I think he really liked doing the show, Lance. He was on 104.5, the Zone TV. I don't know, where is 104.5, the Zone TV? Do you know that?
I don't know that one. I got a 104.5 right now heckling me to come on and talk Astros Yankees from Albany, New York, but I'm not going to. Not after my man Chuck Rhodes did not end up in Albany with that governor position on billions. I'm not doing it out of spite. I'm not going to do anything for
you. You know, that's not real, but...
It feels real to me.
Okay. So, Greg Cosell is on... Now, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend this. If you're 104.5 The Zone TV and you're not in Houston Texans, is there a reason you would ask about the Houston Texans?
No. Not a human reason.
And yet, here's their question.
If you're a bot, you might.
Here's their question to Greg Cosell. And I kind of believe this is a low-rated show. I don't know where you are. But if you're talking Texans football outside of the city of Houston, you ain't going to last long. So let's hear from these people, because this show isn't going to be on very long. Let's hear one of their last shows ever.
You know what, Slay? There's no way I'm going to speak about what a team's record will be. I mean, we know that now, and that's just happy talk BS, you know. That.
Yeah.
But I actually think the Texans are going to be a better football team. Mm-hmm. First of all, I thought Davis Mills really – improved as the year went on, and I think he can be a solid NFL quarterback. And I think they made some meaningful draft picks, and I think they have some good players now. Again, like I said, I'm not going to speak about a record, but I think Kenyon Green, who they drafted this round, will start and improve their O-line. I love John Mechie. We know they drafted Stingley. They're going to play more man coverage, which they actually did last year going down the stretch. So I just think they have a better roster. And I think, you know, it always depends on the quarterback. And I just think Davis Mills has a chance to be a pretty good player. And I think their overall talent is a little bit better than people might think. So we'll see. But I think they're a better football team.
When Greg Cosell says stuff about quarterbacks, you should always listen.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg watches a ton. He doesn't sugarcoat things. He's not interested in your likes or your retweets or, you know, and you being his best friend. He'll just tell you what he thinks, and for him to say that, that's very positive. And Greg's watching all the coaches' tape. He knows what he's looking at. It's good. It's always good when Greg Cosell has something good to say about your quarterback.
And listen, if you saw him with your human eyes, you would say it too. What about Davis Mills? Yeah, he made mistakes. Yeah, he threw some bad passes. Yeah, he's got the arm strength. We saw it. He can throw that deep out. We saw him looking down the field. He actually went through his progressions. I saw plenty of times where he looked, and hit a guy that was open. He had a bad football team, guys who didn't get bad wide receivers, no running game, and yet he actually played. Now, he had his stinkers, but he's a rookie. What about the way Davis Mills played? I mean, I don't want to say can't excite you, but I certainly think that Davis Mills deserves a shot to prove that he can. He's got the pedigree. Well, he was a third-round pick. Well, he was the number one drop-back passer coming out of high school. Now, did he show it all at Stanford? No. Maybe he's developed better here. Some guys are better in the pros than they are in college. It happens. It happens every once in a while.
In every conversation I have with the NFL people about, and I mean decision makers, like personnel people, pro personnel people, everyone had relatively I didn't hear anyone say anything negative about Davis Mills. Never. Because if you just objectively look at this through the lens of an NFL evaluator who understands he is a rookie, and you look at him through your rookie filter, he's okay. You know, he's on to the next step. You say, okay, you passed this test. Let's get to the next one. You don't have to be great. He's a third-rounder who played better than expected for a third-round quarterback, and he passed his initial test, and he's on to the next test. So, yeah, I think everyone who is fundamentally objective from the NFL who looks at how he played absolutely is with you. Hey, let's see what this guy – I don't know that a lot of them are necessarily anointing, but I can say I have talked to people who have said – that guy's going to end up being a good quarterback. So there are people who are projecting him to, yes, based on what they saw this year, to be a good NFL quarterback. That's good. I understand that a lot of people are not going to be able to get past, like, they had the guy that they wanted with Deshaun Watson, and they are fundamentally not going to get past the way that Davis Mills doesn't look the way they want him to look, or he doesn't play the same way they want him to play, or he's not the same guy with the same pedigree as Deshaun Watson. He's not a former national championship winner. He's not a guy, you know, who's as exciting and as explosive. You know, I get all that stuff. That guy's not coming back. Okay, that guy doesn't play with you anymore. He doesn't want to be your quarterback. He's gone. And so I know most Texans fans are going to be all on board with Davis Mills. And for the ones who aren't, you know, it kind of feels like a Titans fan thing where people just decided I'm off or I'm out. You know, we'll see if he can win you back. If he doesn't, then, you know, there'll be new bandwagon fans that jump aboard if you're winning. So it doesn't really matter. But, yeah, he deserves to go to step two of the process. And at some point, if he bogs down, they'll get rid of they'll you know, keep him on the team and they'll draft someone else. They'll throw more competition out there. And he may not be the quarterback anymore, but he deserves to get that step two, and he's getting that step two. It's not like he has any competition now. He doesn't have competition. He is that guy.
Yeah. No. Hey. Okay. Again, where are you on number of wins this year?
I mean, I'm still no different. I'm like I think six. I think six is a reasonable number. Six.
I think
and 11.
Six or seven wins. I think seven wins is a huge success this year.
I think seven is good. Once again, I want to see how you play. It matters and what it looks like. But, yeah, I would say six or seven wins the Texans fans won't consider it a good season. They're not going to say.
I think they will.
You know
I think
what?
That it's a step up. Absolutely.
I don't think we always act like that. And then when people have dealt with all the losses, let's say you get a four-game losing streak at the end of the year. That's not true. I mean, if you were six and seven, and then you catch a four-game losing streak at the end of the year, it's going to be kind of – you're going out on a bad feeling. The sentiment will not be great. So it does matter how you lose, when you lose. That kind of stuff matters for the way people view it, for sure. Let's say you started off terrible and you win four of your last five. Now people will say, hey, wait a minute now. They started turning around. Most people will say they sucked all year long and they won at the end when it didn't matter. I don't care, but – I just think realistically six wins. I think Vegas agrees with us. What do they have? 4.5? To me, that's too low. That's too low. You can accidentally slip into two wins. I mean, you can get two wins just because somebody fumbles a kickoff or something. I mean, it's, you know, two wins is nothing. I think six wins is a realistic goal for the Texans. And if you get to eight wins, if you're 8-9 with this team, to me, wow, you're way ahead of schedule.
Yeah. All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Oh, hey, I want to make sure we pump this up too. This Friday we're gonna be in Edo. That's East Downtown. We're gonna be at Cobos Q. Our boy Raul over at Cobos, we're gonna be at his. That's the big summer spot. That's the place for you to go all summer long. He's got the hookups, he's got great food, got a brand new menu coming out. Got great beverage specials, has a brand new kitchen crew that he's working with. His wait times are like insanely low when it comes to food. He's really expanding the menu. He's really, it's almost like his grand reopening because he's got the right people in place with a lot of great new food coming. So we can't wait to enjoy that. And you guys can come out and hang with us this Friday. We're going to be out there partying at Cobos. We're going to start at 7 in the morning, so we're going to be doing the show all day. We're going to be doing our show there from 7 to 10, and then there's going to be other shows that go, obviously, afterwards that are going to broadcast there as well. So why don't you come out? Come hang out with us in the morning. Come have your lunch over there and listen to some of the shows like Vanessa and Gallant, and come be part of the festivities. Have some great food, some great drinks down at Rusk, and it's right near Minute Maid Park, and I promise you this much. You're going to enjoy yourself with us there on the show, with the other listeners, and certainly with the food and drinks over at Cobos Q. So we're doing that this Friday and looking forward to having the opportunity to hang out there before and after Astros games. He's going to be setting it off. So looking forward to hanging out with Raul at that time on Friday. You better get yourself right so you can get your drink on Friday.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to be right. Are you kidding me? I'm absolutely going to get my drink on Friday. Coors Light, cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. But right now I'm talking about Absolute Marble and Granite. They got a nice, nice, nice bar there. It's brand new. The place is beautiful. So they don't need Jeff Aronoff just yet. But there's a lot of businesses here in the city of Houston that do need Jeff Aronoff right now. The old, dilapidated bar. Look, if you're looking for a great way to make your bar, your restaurant, whatever business it is, better, better, if your bathrooms are worn down, if the toilet is just is gross now because it's so old, or the vanity is old-fashioned and old, you need new ones, okay? You need to pick it up. Tile in the bathroom just makes it look beautiful. The flooring, everything. The flooring in your kitchens, the flooring, the countertops in your kitchens, the cabinets in your kitchens, the outdoor patio, the outdoor kitchen. Just awesome. And they can all look spectacular because of Jeff Aronoff. This is what he does every day, and he's going to call you back. You give him a call, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822, and he's going to come over. He's going to estimate it for you. He's going to help you pick it out. He's going to do it all. He's not only the designer, he's also the contractor. He'll do it all for you. So if you're looking to upgrade, you got to. If you haven't in a while, you got to. 713-880-2822.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Lance, just keep me from hitting send, will you? Just tell me, don't hit send. Is he in the studio, RJ, or no?
I don't. Yeah, no, I'm here. I thought I had turned on the mic. Well, what did you do? Did you do it already? Or
no, I didn't do it yet. But I'm going to be on with Jeremy and Joel later this week.
Oh no, are you fighting with Jeremy and Joel again?
Not Joel. I never fought. I don't fight.
Wait
with
a
Joel.
Minute. I walked in here and I said, or I came to check. I'd left something in the studio. This is last week, I think it was. I said, why is John always coming after you, Jeremy? And Joel's like, guys, Joel started yelling, oh, welcome to the family. You hadn't made it unless John comes after you, or something like that.
I mean,
what are we doing?
The Astros sent out happy 25th birthday to Yordan Alvarez.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great. Jeremy retweets it, says, wait, Yordan is only 25? I was told the Astros window was closing. Okay, Jim. Okay. Boy, it sure doesn't take much to sway his opinions. One 10-run inning, and they're going to the World Series, and one 25-year-old. Jeremy, did you know how old he was before? You didn't know he was young? Jeremy, you just found this out now? You just found out Yordan's young.
Now, Jeremy's going to work off of the assumption that Jeremy Pena, Christian Javier, Juan.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got a lot of good young players,
yeah.
But now, listen, how old is JV? How old is Altuve? How old is Brantley? How old is Yuli? How old is Maldonado? These are five cogs, all starters. By the way, you don't win World Series without a JV. You got to have that top-of-the-line, front-line pitcher, and he's 37, and he could opt out after this year. You're not the same team without JV on it. You're just not.
You're not.
They got to the World Series last year without JV. Yes, they did. But how about without Brantley now? How about Yuli? Has fallen off the. Yuli was the batting champ and a Gold Glove first baseman. He's neither of those this year. Altuve is not going to do this forever, although he's amazing. He's freaking amazing. But he's not going to keep on doing it. He's got a couple of great years left in him, maybe. I mean, we were talking about Altuve wouldn't hit. I think he's going to hit 300. I told you weeks ago he's going to hit 300, and you were like, nah, 280. Because we don't believe that Jose Altuve is a 300 hitter anymore.
Well, he hasn't been since 2000.
No, he hasn't been. So, wait. But Jose Altuve is a main. If you don't have Jose Altuve at the top of the order being Jose Altuve, how are you going to get this done? All right?
Yeah, no,
Uncle Mike has been so clutch and so big for this team. He's done.
I think his point, though, is that the window's not closed.
It's closing. Yes, it is.
I don't know that I agree with that. I think they windows close in our teams that are going to, that you're close to being done.
Listen,
I don't think they're going to be close to being done.
They've been 5 straight years in the ALCS.
John, they traded for Garrett Cole. Let's not act like they can't trade for a player.
No, I get that. They're 5 straight ALCS.
I get that.
The only, name one organization that does it over a decade. One. There is one.
Yuli has not been very good.
There's
at all
one
this year.
Organization that has been able to maintain this kind of greatness. One.
Okay.
Over 10 years.
Who?
The Atlanta Braves.
Right.
Right.
Okay. And why can't
And they won one title. And they won one title.
You know what their key was? They continued to have young players come up. You know what the Astros have had? George Springer in 2014. We'll call it 14, 15. George Springer, 14. Carlos Correa, 15. Bregman, 16. You have Yordan, 19. You have Jeremy Pena, 22. Like, there are big-time core players coming up along the way. As long as they draft and develop, I think you might be a little fatalistic. They added Justin Verlander through trade. They added Garrett Cole through trade. Just because JV is older doesn't mean you can't add another pitcher.
No.
Pitching staff is young and talented.
Well, but you got to go out and you got to get those huge names, okay? Because you can't maintain this kind of greatness. Because we're watching something that just doesn't happen. 5 straight ALCSs. It doesn't happen. We're watching an unbelievable run right now. And we don't appreciate nearly enough because they only have one title.
We may also be watching the beginning of a player who could end up being the greatest in Astros history in Yordan. I mean, there's a chance that he's going to be that guy too, the greatest hitter in the history of Astros baseball. There's a lot to go for him to reach that. However, I will say this, and it'd be better if Yordan was 23 right now, but Jose Altuve tells us he's the greatest hitter he's ever played with. I mean, that's Altuve saying that. People around baseball say this guy is just not getting enough love for what he does as a hitter. That kind of player with Jeremy Pena, with Alex Bregman, with Kyle Tucker, that's rare, John. I think you're working off of the notion that you've got to have this. The Astros have been a cheat code. I mean, they've been a cheat code. You can still be competitive without an 8 deep lineup.
I'm not talking about competitive. I don't give a rat's ass about competitive.
Competing for a championship. You can still
competing for a World Series is a different deal.
The window's closed on you.
You know why they lost last year? You know why they lost last year? Because they didn't have JV and Washington, the Braves. Why they lost to Washington was because they had Scherzer.
So what?
Why lost in a
World Series?
You know, that's right. They lost in a World Series. I'm talking about winning. I'm talking about.
I understand all that. The window open argument is, can you compete for a championship? The New York Yankees have competed for a championship, and they haven't been able to get to the World Series in a long time.
They're better than the Yankees. I don't want to be the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees suck.
Your argument that the window is going to be closed, I think that's premature. I think the Astros control that fate. I don't think age is the be-all, end-all. I think the Astros have a lot of control over whether or not to keep the window open.
Well, if they continue, and you know what? They got to continue to make the unbelievable moves. And let's face it, those moves were made by Jeff Luno.
They need to draft well, too. And they need to draft well and develop. That's a huge part
And they
part
missed
of
a couple of years
cheap,
of drafting.
That's cheap labor.
And they missed a couple of years of drafting.
Did. No, there's no question they did.
Their minor league system isn't what it was when they came up and all of these great players came up. Now, and again, Jeff Luna's not here picking all these players anymore.
Right.
And all of these guys, all of them, all of the major core were all because of Jeff Luna. And he's not here anymore. So we'll find out. We'll find out. But you know what? You got to continue to have an urgency. Not just because Yordan is 25 years old. Oh, everything's fine. No. Yordan was 24 yesterday. Okay. Did you not know that? That's great, but I think you got a lot of great players that are core. We got to go to break.
It's 9:45 right now. You see, you let Jeremy. Not only is Jeremy Branham in your head, he's now in your throat. But that's okay. That sounded just terrible.
No, that sucks.
That's not. He's now in your voice. He's now in your cough. There, yeah. That sounded better.
All right. Well, I got to talk about the Morley Law Firm right now. Morley Law, morleylaw.com, MORLEY law.com. They're the best. if you're looking for the best way to get representation, listen, maybe it's not as bad as Deshaun, okay? Maybe, hopefully it's not as bad as Deshaun, but you could have something really bad going on. You need great representation. You don't, you know, I told you, some lawyers in this city start at $1 million. That ain't the case at the Morley Law Firm. They're the people's lawyers, okay? You're going to get great representation. And in a lot of instances, it's only if you win, they win, okay? If you're being sued civilly or if there's some kind of an accident that you've had. Or, I mean, there's a lot of instances where you got, or you're suing someone civilly. There's a lot of instances where they will take it on, you know, they're going to take it on retainer and they're going to only collect if you collect, okay? So that's awesome. That's awesome. They also, a lot of instances that you have, you're wrongfully accused, or you get into an accident and the insurance company isn't covering it, or whatever the case may be, you need representation. You always need representation, no matter if you've been accused or if you're being sued, no matter what. So the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Call them and let them decide whether or not they can take your case and they can help you. Morley Law. Make the call. Morley Law. 713-839-9955. 713-839-9955. Or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance, News of the Weird, of course, is brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. So, how about this? Here's a nice story, Lance. Australian mayor, she met with families of drunk driving victims. That was nice, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah.
That's a nice story. It doesn't end there. Okay. An hour later, she crashed into a car drunk.
Oh.
That's not.
That's tone deaf. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you didn't. What?
What are we doing?
Oh, my goodness. Don't you think after just seeing that and being there that you shouldn't be drinking and driving? The Indian government is censoring tweets that are critical of Indian internet censorship. I don't even, is that redundant or is
it's
that
not redundant.
Just
it's
makes
predictable.
Sense? Yeah.
It's
I mean,
predictable.
If they're censoring the internet, don't you think they would censor critical tweets of them censoring
Actually,
the internet?
I would say that's on brand.
Yeah, I would say so too. How about this family? They've got a giant tarp over their house. They've been living without a roof. Their roof was removed by a contractor they never hired. Do you think that they should, in Idaho, it's going to get cold there soon, okay? They never hired this guy. Apparently, he came to their house and he took off their roof.
It's cold, boys. Get it up. We got to get it up by this afternoon.
Wait, why? I don't, what? I mean, the family must have been out of town. You can't just have somebody taking your, could you please stop? Please stop taking off our roof. Please. Please stop. Like, you couldn't have actually been there for that to happen.
I think you're taking off the wrong... It's the wrong one!
I'm pretty sure my husband didn't say take off the roof.
Oh, my goodness. I hope they were
Are
on vacation
just
and just didn't sit there.
Are you supposed to just keep putting a new roof on like shingles?
Lance, you know I'm getting my electric truck, right? I can't wait to get my electric truck from Ford, right? Well, Toyota apparently is recalling its first mainstream electric car... Because the wheels can fall off. Do you want an electric car where the wheels fall off?
That seems like something you might want to finish up before you put it out to market.
Yeah. I don't think the wheels should have a possibility of falling off when you're out there driving around. That's just me.
Yeah, no. I'm with you on that one. We can agree on that one.
Toronto's Hyde Park. Apparently, cyclists are not happy. Apparently, it's a 20-mile-an-hour zone. Yeah. Around this park, police officers are giving out tickets to cyclists who are traveling more than 20 miles an hour. Should they get tickets if they can ride their bike faster than 20 miles an hour?
I mean, I feel like you should be up. No, yeah, absolutely. The rule's the rule. Law's the law. Sorry.
That's it. It's
Sorry.
20 miles an hour.
Law's
Sorry.
Law. 20 miles an hour. That's it. But you know what? Is it like in a car where if you go 24, you're good? As long as you stay under that 5-mile-an-hour thing, you got a little a buffer? Is that does that fit into bikes, too? You say, hey, I was only going 23 miles an hour. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I know. Okay, if I'm going 32, then okay, I get it. Yeah. Right?
But
right?
This is 23. Come on, how are you stopping me going? And are you really putting a gun on somebody? When I say gun, a speed gun. You really putting a speed gun on somebody going, like, on a bike?
So, do you know what a porch pirate is?
Yes, I do.
It's some. How about I had a couple of packages, Lance? My wife and I were both out of town this weekend, and a couple of packages on my porch, and nobody took them. They were there all weekend. How
yeah,
about,
it's, there's still some neighborhood. There's other neighborhoods that are high porch pirate.
Yeah.
Areas.
Well, there's my Marion County, Florida. There is a new meaning to
say
porch
no
pirate.
More.
Well, there you go. Apparently, this man wasn't trying to steal anything on the porch. He was trying to steal the porch. He is 51-year-old Keith Hill. He was inside the home. Hill was taking the home's porch apart and removing it from the house.
Is it the same contractor from the taking the roof off?
Maybe. Maybe it's the same guy, only that one was in Idaho. Maybe he's on the run.
Maybe this is a serial issue.
Yeah.
Hey, I just came home. All of my plumbing gone.
How about that?
Who took all my plumbing?
Apparently, this guy was on a plane, and he was trying to send D-pics to somebody.
Yeah, everyone got it.
Everybody on the plane got
it. Everyone got it. Everyone can get it. When he says, don't worry, you can get it, and you can get it, and you, and actually the entire rows, 10 all the way through 36 can get it. Get what? D-pic.
Oh, everybody on the plane knew who it was, too. I don't know how, but the guy next to him was saying, here's Larry, and he is about to be taken off this plane because he just sent us all a D-pic.
Ooh, that's, that's keep your airdrops.
Yeah.
Keep your airdrop off.
Wow.
Only to friends or people in your contact list. Do not have them open.
Apparently, a woman was redoing her kitchen, and she found a bag with $5,000 in it, and she doesn't know what to do with it. Would you know what to do with it?
Wait, say it again?
She found $5,000. She was redoing her whole kitchen, and there was a bag with $5,000 in it that she found. Would you know what to do with that?
Yeah,
she
says exactly
she does. She says she doesn't know what to do with it. How can she
exactly what to do with it?
Yeah,
blackjack.
It's mine. It's all mine, and I'll do whatever the hell I want with it.
Yeah, I found $5,000. I don't know what to do with this $5,000. It's in your home.
Yeah, it's yeah. Guess what?
My home, my property.
That's it. All mine. All right, we're done. Maestro Dobell isn't done, though, but we are. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody.
Maestro Dobell's never done. Maestro Dobell's always working. When you're not working, then Maestro Dobell is working for you because you want to have a cocktail, man. You want to have a margarita. You want to get your margarita going. How about a nice silver from Maestro Dobell? They got a great silver, which is going to be kind of your, I would call it your standard. I feel like I diminish it by calling it a standard, but it's their go-to. It's their home base for their tequilas, but it really goes far beyond that. The Reposada, the Añejo. They have the Añejo Extra and the Añejo Cristalino, which is maybe the best tequila I've ever tasted. It is truly phenomenal. A little more expensive. It's in a beautiful packaging, beautiful bottle, but I break that one out whenever it's time to have a little celebration about something, which could be anything. Could be a win in a game. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. But I do know this, Maestro Dobell, for any of your palates, if you like tequilas, Maestro Dobell is going to be for you. 11 generations of tequila makers have turned this into an amazing product that has been very thoughtfully created and crafted and aged so that it is going to hit just right for your margaritas, for your cocktails, or just for sipping. It's Maestro Dobell. Check them out wherever fine liquors are sold. You're going to find my friends over at Maestro Dobell.
Well, hello!
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.
Hi, everyone. This is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week, we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes. So, for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.